Hey everybody, it's Marcus here. Welcome to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. April 17, 2010 now. There's been a lot of interesting developments in the e-reader and Slate PC world. A lot of newsworthy items that we're just going to tackle here for you guys. Starting with e-readers, Amazon and Target have signed an agreement, so you'll soon be able to buy Amazon Kindles, accessories, Amazon ebook coupons, you know, this type of iTunes type cards. You know, you get them in increments of $5 to $25 to $50. Gives you the accumulated credit on the Amazon site. So you'll be able to get Amazon Kindles and accessories in Target stores starting around April 27th. Similarly, there's been an announcement by Barnes & Noble, the makers of their first e-reader product, the Nook, that's been sold on their website and in Barnes & Noble stores in the U.S. They have signed an agreement with Best Buy, so you'll be able to buy Nooks, accessories, carrying cases, etc., in Best Buy. Now, up until recently, the most popular e-readers to actually be in retail locations has been Sony, mainly because Sony has a lot of affiliated partners. They have a lot of distribution set up. So this is good news for e-readers that want a little bit more variety at a physical and tangible store. Up until recently, up until, you know, basically right now, the best way to buy an e-reader is online. And if you buy it online, you're not getting it right away. You do have to wait a few days, if not a few weeks, to be able to get your e-reader. So to have more impulse, more variety at these stores is good news, especially around times like the holidays, Black Friday, when there's a lot of deals to be had. It's much more satisfying to be able to go to a store, get a deal, and bring the item home right away. So this is a boon for e-reader lovers. You definitely have a little bit more variety in your tangible retail outlets. Now, getting into Slate and tablet PC news, Neofony, who is making the upcoming WePad Slate, they had a press conference and a technology conference in Berlin yesterday, well, basically a few days ago now, and they unveiled the final specs and new video showcasing the highly anticipated WePad Android Slate. It's about 11.6-inch touchscreen, so it's one of the larger touchscreens available, about a 1.66 gigahertz Intel Atom processor, does Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, it has a webcam on it. It'll start at about $611. They'll have another model that's 3G and 32 gigabytes for about $774 US. The launch date, according to the company, is August 2010. Now, they will start taking pre-orders for this around April the 27th, mainly that they are trying to maximize the period that they're taking pre-orders for a couple reasons. They have 20,000 people that they claim are interested in pre-ordering it, but the Apple iPad actually has been having delays. This is another big announcement about Apple iPad international delays that have just come out. Basically, in the first week in the U.S., they sold about 500,000 iPads at just sales at the retail locations. It basically blew a lot of their Apple's expectations away in terms of how fast this was selling and how much it would catch on. So their chain of distribution from manufacturing to the final retail outlet is skewed right now. There is not enough Apple iPads, especially the lower tier products like the entry level 16 gigabyte Wi-Fi version for $499, which is the most popular one right now, that they have pushed back international sales until the end of May. So up until about May 27th, if you live outside the US, that's when you'll be able to actually buy it. Now, you will be able to do international pre-orders around May the 11th, but you won't actually be able to get the iPad shipped to you until the end of May. Now, if you live in Canada, Rogers Wireless has made an announcement that they will both sell and support the iPad. So they'll make custom data plans, custom voice plans for this product. Now, getting back to the WePad, they decided to push back the pre-order phase of things in order to maximize sales, because the iPad's not going to hit Germany until the end of May and the first few weeks of June. So hopefully that they're hoping to capitalize on the early hype and the fact that Neofony is a local German company, so a lot of people will try to support them. But as far as the text and specs go of the WePad, looks like a great device. It'll do 1080p video playback. It does flash. It does all of like the great things that people are looking for in a fully multimedia PC. Now, getting back to Apple for a second. Now, if you look at Europe, Orange and Vodafone are going to be offering iPad plans. So if you live in Britain, Germany, Spain, France, even Australia, they're going to be offering custom data plans and service for the 3Gs. Now, there are some newsworthy items in terms of the iPad that has arisen this week. Everything from pad applications being denied to flash workarounds being made. So we're going to start with one of the flash workarounds right now. The lack of flash has been one of, you know, the big complaints by reviewers and pundits alike. You know, they groan and moan about lack of USB ports and a webcam, or that it maybe weighs too heavy, but the main feature is the lack of flash available. So a company called Ripcode has made an innovative application that bypasses Apple's way of blocking flash. What they do is transcoding Adobe Flash video to play right in Apple's Safari web browser, much like you can stream various video codecs over your home computer network. Now, the program that they made is called the TransAct Transcoder V6. Catchy, hey? But what it basically does is allow you to stream and capture different streams right in the Safari browser. Now, they say that HTML5 might be a viable solution when it comes out, but it's not really widely adopted yet. There's a lot of back-end work that some content providers have to do in order for this new application to stream Flash properly. So whether Apple just blocks this way of doing Flash in Safari with a firmware update, if they do that, that's pretty well the end of the story. But if they don't do that, then perhaps some more back-end owners, a lot of media providers, will actually offer the video streaming using this TransAct transcoder. So whatever happens, AT&T is the major provider for the iPad in the US. It's a win-win situation with them if Flash comes, and a lot of the people that have been holding out on Flash in terms of buying the iPad and waiting for a new different slate or pad to come out, then good. AT&T will make even more money than they're making now, and a lot of iPad users will enjoy at least a little sample of Flash on their iPads. Now, as well, I mentioned a few minutes ago about Apple trademarking the word pad, or at least they're trying to trademark the word pad. They are actively excluding a lot of apps that have the word pad in it. So one guy by the name of Chris Osmo, developer of JournalPad and a JournalPad Bible edition, got an email, basically said that his names of his app have to be changed. He was kind of pissed, so he wrote Steve Jobs an email personally asking why, you know, his apps were denied. Steve Jobs replied, "Just use common sense and not and use another company's trademark in your app name." Now, Apple right now doesn't own the trademark to the word pad, but there's some industry insiders going that Apple is actually trying to assemble a legal team to try to see if they can trademark the word pad, or if there's a current trademark on it, they're going to try to wheel and deal it out of it. Now, they do offer I mean, they do own the word iPad. They recently purchased it from their previous owner, Fujitsu. Now it looks like iPad and Apple are doing the same thing. When the iPod came out, they disallowed anything with iPod in the name. Now, Apple's arbitrarily always done its own thing, so word to the wise, if you do have anything or any apps that you're intending on submitting has the word pad in it, take it out, because you'll instantly be rejected. Now that they are rejecting apps with the word pad in it, I wonder if they're going to start rejecting any type of people that are submitting content that maybe have the word pad in their domain name. This is something that no one's really thought about yet, but we thought that we'd just throw it out there so you guys can maybe start being aware of it. Apple really takes its trademarking seriously. Any company that sues the Beatles over a patent and trademark infraction, it's not a company to be taken lightly in the legal arena. Now, jumping into e-readers, the long-awaited Spring Design Alex has been shipped. This is a great e-reader. It reads EPUB HTML text. It has about 2 gigabytes of internal storage. It has a really nice 6-inch screen as well as a few inch bottom color touchscreen. It looks and feels similarly to the Barnes & Noble Nook. And Spring Design thought it did too, which is why Spring Design actually sued Barnes & Noble around October, November of last year, delaying the holiday release of both the Nook and the Spring Design Alex. So the Nook was released earlier on this year in about March, and Alex finally makes its long-awaited debut. One of the features we really like about the Alex e-reader is the fact that you can actually surf the internet. It has a really good internet browser on the device. It blows away the Kindle's internet reader away. And Amazon thought so too, which is why they are working on an upgrade to their web browser that's currently in Kindle devices. And in a similarly other announcement, Kindle is actually releasing an SDK, so developers can actually start making custom Kindle apps. Now, getting back to the Alex, you can buy this at the Borders chain of stores as well as their online website. Spring Design is partnered with Borders, so, and it has also formed a partnership with Google to have the Alex able to get any type of Google book that's available. This bodes well. The Spring Design Alex is probably, for the money, the best type of e-reader that you can get for 6 inches right now in terms of just being able to do a whole lot with it. And that's a Google Android-driven device, so you can actually download a lot of apps from the internet. If you're looking for apps, we have a lot of posts on our forum about what type of apps work the best. A lot of users contribute their views on sharing links, sharing experiences with apps. So if you think about getting an app and you want to see people's feedback about it, for sure check that out. But yeah, keep your eyes on the Spring Design Alex. It just shipped. It's a hell of a good e-reader. We feel if you compare it to the Barnes & Noble Nook, it really blows it away. So yeah, 6-inch e-reader, take a look at Spring Design Alex. Now, honestly, the last week has been crazy for new e-readers being announced. It really is mind-boggling considering that e-readers have been around for about 5 or 6 years, but it's only really in the last year that a lot of companies really looked at how much Amazon was making, especially during the Christmas season. They sold about 500,000 to 700,000 Kindles in 1 month. So a lot of new e-reader companies are trying to jump on board to try to capture at least a little bit of market share. ViewSonic has released 2 new e-readers, or they've released announcements that they are. They're going to be hitting Europe in about October. Now, for those of you that don't know, ViewSonic is the big LCD company. They really make a lot of LCD screens for PCs. They make a lot of electronics. The 2 names for it, pretty catchy, VEB620 and VEB625. Both models are slated to cost about $270 to about $315. The resolution on them, 800 by 600 on a 6-inch screen, does about 16 levels of grayscale, about 2 gigabytes of memory. It also has a G sensor to turn the pages and rotate them automatically. It does SD memory card, USB support. They read PDFs, EPUBs, RTF, text files. It looks like a viable e-reader. We'll certainly be paying attention for this for more announcements that come out. But looking at the e-reader itself, it's not too bad. It'll be mainly a European thing. Basically, in Europe right now, IREX is the big company. There's a few minor companies, but there really isn't the type of juggernaut like Amazon that has a huge retail presence in Europe like they do in the United States. Now, Waterstone has released an announcement that they're going to be putting out an e-reader. They compare it similarly to the Kindle. Waterstone's the largest bookstore in the UK, pretty well. And so they know a thing or two about books. Now, they're debating right now whether to use technology from other sources or come up with their own. But right now that they're saying that, yes, they want their models to have Wi-Fi, they want it to have 3G, they similarly want to adopt the Kindle model that adapts, you know, the online bookstore integrated with the e-reader, so its primary source of getting books is directly from the Waterstone store. So this might be a good thing, although it's a lot in concept and stuff right now. They do have some early prototype models, but they aren't really too sure on the design or anything of this yet. But rumor has it that they'll probably coming out with this around November to December of this year to, you know, capitalize on like the holiday rush. Now, there is another e-reader, yet another one that's been announced. It's the BenQ N-Reader. It's made by the Taiwanese company BenQ, and it'll debut in Taiwan in early to about mid-2011. It really depends. The one thing about this company is that they're not really giving too many details away on exactly when it'll come out. There's a lot of conflicting reports, but they will be putting out an online bookstore, and they'll also have this N-Reader have subsequent releases in Japan and China. Now, it's the standard e-reader entry that we've been seeing lately. It's 6 inches, but it does have a touchscreen interface, which has a lot going for it in terms of uniqueness. A lot of e-readers don't have a full touchscreen at the 6-inch entry range. It, of course, have e-ink as far as its primarily display model. It'll have about 2 gigabytes of internal storage. It'll support EPUB, HTML, and PDF. BenQ is basically forecasting 300,000 units of these next year. And they basically have forecasted in 10 years that they'll sell about 100 million of these. Basically, Asia is a really untapped market as far as big companies offering e-readers. It's basically right now, there are some small internal or knockoffs of other popular e-readers, but there's not a whole lot of substantiated presences. Now, BenQ is a big company, and with Taiwanese, Asian backing, this might be a popular reader in those markets. It'll be the equivalent of about $280. So they'll flex around on the price a little bit, but it's hard to really say. They're looking at a Q4 release of 2010 for this device. Finally, we're going to leave you guys with the full specs of the HP Slate. The full specs were officially announced. There'll be two different models of it. It'll have one model of $549 in its base configuration, 8.9-inch screen, 1024 by 600, multi-touch display, about 1.6 gigahertz, Intel Atom processor, does UMA graphics, does 1080p video payback, 32 gigabytes of flash storage, 1 gigabyte of non-upgradable RAM. It also has a $599 version with 64 gigabytes, so $550 for the base, $600 for the 64 gigs. Certainly a lot cheaper than Apple iPad's 64 gigabytes version. It'll have a 5-hour battery. It'll have camera, USB. It actually has the HDMI out on it. It'll have SIM card support for optional 3G modem. It'll look like the software that they are using on it is going to be an offshoot of the Windows 7 platform. HP has also partnered up with Adobe. This is a little bit older news, but you'll see full partnership between HP and Adobe. So you'll see this tab with a whole lot of multimedia, you know, capabilities. There's a lot of excitement. The HP Slate looks like a money Slate device. So if you can, you know, hold out until this is released in a few months, it'll certainly be worth the wait. It looks like a great device. If I were to put, say, two Slate devices that are coming out soon, say you look at the Dell and the HP Slate, HP Slate over the Dell, no questions asked. Mainly because their specs and their units look damn good. And the fact that it runs a Windows 7 platform off of an Android processor, it means that a lot of PC users will be able to adopt this a lot easier, because the most common apps that they use on a PC, they'll be able to actually use on a Slate PC as well. Now, I said this would be the last bit of news, but I also wanted to touch on some exciting news from Research in Motion, the makers of the BlackBerry. Now, this is a bit of a teaser. It's not a whole lot of information. As you guys know, Research in Motion is very secretive about the developments that they're doing, both in releases of phones and their new market that they're jumping into is Slate PCs. We actually have a photo of it on our blog, so be sure to check that out. The name of the article is "So a BlackBerry Tablet Next." Now, this is going to have an 8.9-inch screen. It's going to do Wi-Fi and 3G. So Research in Motion being a Canadian company, you can for sure see this on, I'm predicting, the TELUS network. And in the United States, it'll probably be on the Verizon network. Just in looking at Research in Motion's, their way of sort of doing things. This is looking to be a pretty sweet device. Research in Motion, for those of you who have BlackBerries, you know what I'm talking about. A very reliable company. It's more work-related type of phone to have. Definitely, BlackBerry phones aren't just a casual device that people have. It's certainly not a Nokia. It's certainly a much more elevated type of business professional type phone. The fact that BlackBerry integrates itself with Outlook and Outlook servers is a very positive thing. Research in Motion has a tremendous amount of experience. They have a pretty good business team backing them up. If they do jump into the Slate PC market, hey, their Slate might be a winner, but with most BlackBerry things, they take a little bit of time to get them right. If you look at, say, the Storm and the Storm 2 version of smartphones, there's a big difference. I both had the Storm and the Storm 2, and Storm 2 really is a much more sweeter, much more refined device. A lot of the kinks were worked out. It may look like that Research in Motion may release the Slate to get in for the Christmas rush of this year. But in hindsight, we'll have to, my opinion reserves and remains to be seen regarding this. We really hope that they get it right the first time, but if you look at Research in Motion's track record of putting out, say, a device, letting a lot of customers test it, put out firmware updates, and then releasing an updated version of it maybe a year or two later that has everything and all the bugs kinked out and everybody's happy with the product. It's the same if you have the BlackBerry Bold or Bold 2, the Storm or Storm 2, or if you have the older version of the BlackBerry Curve versus the newer version. In all the cases, the newer versions are a lot more lighter, sweeter, and refined. a lot of the functionality that was a little bit buggier with earlier releases were fixed with subsequent releases. Now, this has been a busy week. There's certainly a lot more news items that we haven't touched on. There's a lot of slates being announced in Taiwan right now. It seems to be the mecca of where a lot of the stuff gets manufactured or a lot of the parts assembled there. So take a look at our blog. We do have a lot of articles that we post every day. Traditionally, we post about 3 or 4 new articles a day that give you an insight into the world of electronic readers, the world of color e-ink coming out soon, the next generation of 3D e-readers, as well as all of the latest slate and tablet slate PC news. Now, just to hype us up, because this is a free version after all of our radio show, a Good E-Reader is one of the first sites to specialize in this. To our knowledge, we're the only site on the internet that just focuses exclusively on e-readers and slates in a newsworthy format. We also have a very active forum as well as a site. So if you want to learn more about e-readers, definitely check us out daily. We put a lot of time and effort into having totally original, well-researched and refined articles into the world of e-readers. We also publish the Good E-Reader magazine. This is a digital version, usually around 15 to 20 pages. Gives you the latest news on a monthly basis, totally original articles on the latest news on tablet and slate PC. There's some commentary. We also post a little bit of video game news on hardware and such. In this month's edition of the Good E-Reader magazine, the April edition, that's still for sale on our blog at $1.99. We have an interview with the CEO of Notion Inc. talking about their release of the Notion Inc. Atom and some of the delays that they're facing using Flash and with their processor, their NVIDIA Tegra 2 processor. So we talked to the CEO directly addressing some of these problems, talking about what they're going to do to resolve them. We talked to him about the new Genesis $1 million app competition that they're having. We also have a lot more news on tablets such as the Dell, the HP Slate, so on. So if you're a lover of technology and you want to get you don't have time to maybe check websites and keep a track of all the news that happens on a day-to-day basis, the Good E-Reader magazine basically sums up all of the latest news in a month-by-month format. So take a look at that. It's $1.99 for an entry-level cost. Hey, there's far worse things to spend $1.99 on. For one, the Good E-Reader magazine is better than a cheeseburger. A cheeseburger is also $1.99. Not only will the cheeseburger taste good going down, taste horrible digesting, weigh on your mind like a 20-pound anvil after you've eaten it, and then an hour later, you're saying, why did I buy that cheeseburger? With the Good E-Reader magazine, you will not have post-sales stress. Good E-Reader magazine is good for your health. Cheeseburger is bad for your health. The Good E-Reader magazine is good. Cheeseburger is bad. With that in mind, take a look at our magazine. It's good value for your money. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can join us in our Facebook group. Or you can check out some of our original videos that we've put on YouTube. YouTube.com/GoodEReader. As well as Twitter.com/GoodEReader and so on. You can take a look at us. As always, our blog is updated on a daily basis with most interesting stories. You can certainly take a look at a lot of our most popular stories that we've lined out. But, you know, if you're a lover of technology, e-readers, keep on listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. For the Good E-Reader Radio Show, this is Marcus, and everybody take care.